Welcome to Healing Fire Ministries. We hope you will be blessed as you listen to this message. God bless you.
Today being Christmas, let's read Luke chapter 2. We are going to read about the birth of our Lord and Savior. Luke chapter 2, reading from verse 1. Just give me a little bit more volume, just a little. Luke chapter 2, we'll be reading from verse 1. The book of Luke, the second chapter, and the first verse. If you are there, say amen. All right, the Bible says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem." Hallelujah. Now, I want you to follow, because sometimes we can read and you can be daydreaming and not following what we are reading. So, out of the blue, there is a call for taxation, that people must be taxed. Do you understand? And so for you to pay your taxes in those days, for example, if you are from KwaZulu-Natal, you have to travel back to KwaZulu-Natal so that you can pay your taxes there, and so on and so forth. So this is what was happening, and Joseph and Mary, which are Jesus' parents, had to go to Bethlehem, which is where they came from, so that they can pay their taxes. Are we still together? Verse 4. "And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child." So that word espoused means they haven't married yet, but they are about to be married. And Mary was 9 months pregnant. She was ready to give birth. Verse 6. "And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the word of God in Jesus' mighty name. Father, we thank you for your word. I pray that, Lord, you grant us grace to receive what you have spoken or what you are speaking to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, come with me also to Matthew 24, the book of Matthew, chapter 24, and verse 38. Matthew chapter 24, verse 38. Are we there? The Bible says, "For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of God, the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Hallelujah. Let me read it one more time. Matthew 24 verse 38. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there's two stories here that we have read about. Very important stories. Hallelujah. The first one we read about is the birth of Jesus Christ. Now, prompted by taxes, or the need to pay his taxes, Joseph leads his family to Bethlehem, where he came from. Hallelujah. To pay his taxes. When he got there, his wife was at the verge of giving birth, and or wife to be. And as she gave birth, the Bible says she gave birth in a manger. Someone say manger. You know, I don't know if we have mangers in South Africa, but it's a place for animals. Sheep, goats, donkeys, domestic animals. Hallelujah. And imagine the Savior of the world, the King of Kings. Open your Bibles to Isaiah, either chapter 9, verse 6, or chapter 6, verse 9. I think it's chapter 9, verse 6. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Quickly, quickly. Are you there? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And look at this person who has been given to us. The government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Hey! Born in a manger. Amongst animals, amongst sheep. I don't know what noise goats make, and donkeys, and whatever animals were there, chickens. This great person being born in such a seemingly pathetic situation. Are you listening to me? Now, here's my message for today. I'm just going to give it to you. What I've noticed about God is that God does big things in a quiet way. God does loud things in a silent way. Imagine the Savior of the world coming to the earth. You know, if I were God and my son is about to be born on the earth, the whole world would know. I mean, I would change the skies from being blue to being, you know, purple. A color that, you know, people will say, what's going on today? I will make a statement that somebody is born today. But when Jesus was born, besides Joseph and Mary, and those shepherds that the angels visited, and the three wise men. Nobody knew that the Savior is landing today. Are you listening to what I'm saying? People were minding their own business. Some were going to work. Some were going to school. Some were. Nobody knew the great thing that was about to take place on the earth. Nobody. This big God, when he does great things, somehow he does it in a quiet way, in a silent way. In the days of Noah, he was about to end the world. It's no small thing. He was about to end, killed everybody who was living on the earth in those days, including animals. And he just talks to Noah and says, Noah, build me an ark. And I don't know how long it took Noah, but he was quietly and silently building something that will save him from extinction. Am I talking to somebody? Amen. And the Bible says that on the day that God opened the heavens and it started raining, people were getting married, people were eating, people were drinking, people were going to work, people were going to school, as though nothing was happening, yet something extraordinary, horrible was taking place. I don't know whether I'm talking to somebody. Amen. This God, he does great things in such a silent, quiet way. This coming year that we are coming into, that we are about to enter, do you understand? It's so important to be spiritually sensitive, especially as you can see that we are approaching the coming of the Lord very, it's getting closer and closer and closer. When God is doing things in your life, he won't make a big show. He can be quietly doing something great, but because he's not making a spectacle about it, you may easily miss it. But if you read scriptures, every time he does something extraordinary, he starts off as though nothing is happening. Even the day of Jesus' death, except for the people who are in Jerusalem. And even in Jerusalem, some people didn't even go to see him dying. They were minding their business. Some were hungry. They were just making food. Some were eating sparkle. Some were at work. Very few people knew what was going on that day. And that was in Jerusalem. And we know that, there's also Africa, there's also Asia. The people didn't know that a Savior is dying for them. On the day of his resurrection, except for his disciples, very few people knew that, something extraordinary has just happened. That somebody has come back from the dead. Jesus. So you have to understand how he operates. And when it seems like he's not doing anything, be careful, because he might be doing something great, but because he operates silently, you may miss him. So today being Christmas, I want us to learn this truth about God. And I want us to notice it when he is moving and operating in our lives. Do you understand? Don't always wait for the spectacular. Don't wait to see angels. You know, my father in the Lord, where I was raised in Lighthouse Chapel International, I was raised under the ministry of Bishop Doug Hewitt Mills. I remember one time he shared a story. Do you understand? And he led, like, let's say Mam Ruti and I are married, you see. And then Mam Ruti has a brother. So one day he went to visit his, you know, in-laws. And he met his brother-in-law. And he started preaching to his brother-in-law. And led him to Christ. Do you understand? When this brother-in-law got born again, he started being very serious with God. And found out that he was very prophetic. And around that season, Bishop Dagwood Mills was praying one prayer topic. That, Lord, I want to see you. In other words, he wanted to have an encounter where he sees Jesus face to face, eyeball to eyeball. And he had been praying for a long time, and Jesus was not appearing and was not close to appearing at all. And then one day, his brother-in-law comes to visit and sleeps over at his place. And that night, when he was there, all of a sudden, Jesus appears to the brother-in-law and starts talking to the brother-in-law and then disappears. So in the morning, when the brother-in-law sees Bishop, he says, "Hey, Jesus visited me here today." And Bishop Doug said, "Yay, Lord, I have been praying. And you even come to my house. And you appear to a visitor and you don't come to me." Hey. You know, to the point that in those days, I even started praying me myself, saying, "Lord, please appear to Bishop Doug." You know, my heart was really like, please appear to him. And when I stopped that prayer, one day I was asleep. Then I saw myself in heaven. Then we were in a group like this, in a line. And we were being presented before God. And somebody spoke and said, "These are the ones who are praying for Bishop Doug to see the Lord." I don't know why, but I just saw myself like that. That was the last time I prayed. But do you know that this same Bishop Doug, today he is a great man of God with churches almost in every country of the world. Thousands of churches all over the world. Thousands of pastors under him. And he's never had a super encounter. Well, I don't know now, but at least by then, he had never had a super fantastic encounter where he saw himself going to heaven and Jesus spoke to him for 2 hours or 3 hours. And I mean, God doesn't have to do anything super fantastic for your life to be extraordinarily great. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So some people, if you are not born in a rich family, you don't think that you can become great. If you are born, because as Lalin, am I saying it correctly? If you are born in such areas, you don't think that your life can become extraordinarily great. You see, one man of God, I like the way he describes God. And he says, God is a consuming fire. And when fire is in operation, it doesn't make a noise. It just burns quietly. If you are hearing a noise, it's the thing that's been burnt. It's not the fire. Fire does not have a sound. So when God moves and when he operates, he does his things silently and quietly. He may be doing something so big, but he'll be doing it so silently and quietly. So this coming year, be sensitive. Be alert. It may look like he's doing something small, but he's doing something great. Am I talking to somebody? Yeah. You are at school, just continue, you know, studying silently, but you are doing something powerful. You're at work, just work hard, silently. When other people are complaining, when other people are toying, hey, sifuni 5%, I don't know what they want. But just mind your business. And let your work be what talks for you. Can I hear a louder amen?
Amen.
When other people are gossiping, hey, you just mind your own business. And seek your God quietly. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Yeah. I prophesy into your life that this coming 2022, this God who operates so quietly will be operating quietly in your life. But before you know it, you will see something extraordinary great. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. You must believe. Yeah. One day, a certain man of God, he was preaching somewhere. And when he finished preaching, a gentleman came to him and he said, "Pastor," they called him Daddy. There, that side, they called their pastors Daddy. And he said, "Daddy, I have something in my heart that I want to do." He said, "I make clothes for a living. I sew." And he says, "I want to sew all your clothes, like all the clothes that you have. I want to be the one who sews them for you. But I don't have money to buy material." So he said to the man of God, "Can you please buy the material and then I will do your clothes for free?" So the man of God was touched by this man. And he said to him, "Because of what you want to do, one day you will go deposit your money in the bank and the money will be so much that the bank manager will call you and ask you, 'Pila Pila, what do you do for a living?'" And the man said, "Amen." And the man of God says, the way the guy said amen was one of those things, you know, not that he had faith. He was just saying amen just because it's the appropriate time to say amen. So he left, and the man of God bought the material and started doing as he had asked, as he had promised. Some time went by, a couple of months or a few years, and he got a contract. Nigeria was going into to the Olympics those days. And people had spoken to some people that, "Hey, there's a guy there. That guy knows how to make clothes." So the government went to him and said, "We want you to make all the clothes of our athletes, and we will pay you." And when they paid him cash. They didn't put it in his bank account. So he went to the bank to deposit his money. And when he was on his way out, they called him and said, "The bank manager wants to see you." And when he went and met him, the bank manager said, "Actually, what is your vocation? What do you do for a living?" You see, the day the man of God just opened those words and just said it, there was no spectacular, there was no angel, there was no vision. But you see, the God who does great things silently was in operation. You have to learn how he works. You have to learn how he operates. Hallelujah. So, there are some things that, you know, because even in Noah's day, Noah's time, this God was operating quietly. And in the whole world in those days, Noah was the only one who was in sync with God. The only one. No other person was in sync. No other person knew what God was doing. Noah was the only one. He understood how this God operates. So I want us to learn a few things from him, so that in this coming year and the years to come, when we notice him or working in his quiet way, we will not miss it. Hallelujah. Amen. Tell your neighbor, say, "I will not miss it." So I've got 5 lessons from Noah, and then we will close. So the first thing that I want us to learn from Noah, so that in our time, in our lives, we also don't miss God. Do you understand? Noah found grace in God's eyes. Noah found grace in God's eyes. Genesis chapter 6, verse 8. The Bible says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, I don't know how many people were alive in those days. But why is it that out of all the people who were alive, only Noah found grace in God's eyes? Why wasn't it Noah and Jack and Samson and Paul and Karabo? Why was it only Noah? And Noah found grace in God's eyes. Verse 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. Then the Bible says, and Noah walked with God. In other words, out of all the people who lived in the earth in those days, Noah was the only one who had a relationship with God. Can you believe it? Nobody else had a relationship with God. So Noah had a relationship with God to the point where the Bible says he walked with God. There are few people where the Bible says, and he walked with God. Noah was one of the people who walked with God. In other words, he had a close, deep, intimate, personal relationship with God. So if you want to detect the operations of this silent God, you have to walk with him. So that you can find grace in his eyes. So that when he is doing things, he has to tell you what he is doing. So that you don't miss what he is doing. Am I talking to somebody? Ask your neighbor, say, neighbor, are you walking with God? Or are you walking by yourself? Demand an answer. Who are you walking with? What are they saying? So the Bible says he was a just man and perfect in his generations, and he walked with God. Now I want you to understand, for him to get that qualification, what does that mean? Now the Bible says in verse 5, the same Genesis 6, it tells us that, and God saw the wickedness of man, that it was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil. So everyone around Noah, the Bible says they were wicked. And the Bible says all their thoughts and imaginations were evil. Someone say evil. And the other thing that you have to notice is that God doesn't just destroy. One time, God visited Abraham. And as he was leaving Abraham, he said, Abraham, we are friends now. I must tell you everything that I'm doing. And so he told him that I'm about to go destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. So Abraham asked God, I said, God, do you destroy the wicked and the righteous together? So if you go to Sodom and Gomorrah and you find 50 righteous people, will you destroy it? And God said, no. If I find 50, I won't destroy. Then Abraham said, what about 40? He said, no. What about 30? He said, no. What about 20? God said, no. What about 10? God said, if I find 10 righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah, I will not destroy it. Abraham must have thought that surely there must be at least 10 people who are righteous in Sodom and Gomorrah. To his shock, there was none. There was only one, which was his nephew or niece. I don't know the English. So for God to destroy the earth, there were not even 10 people in the days of Noah who were righteous. So I just want you to understand, when God says he was a just and perfect man, it means that first, God was reading all the hearts of the people in the earth. And all of them were wicked. And all of them in their hearts, they were only thinking evil. And out of all of them, there was not even 10 people who were righteous. Am I talking to somebody? And before God makes a decision about you or somebody, so that he can say that you are righteous, you are perfect. Remember one day there was a king having a party. And they were using holy things to enjoy themselves. And a hand appeared and started writing, Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. And a finger without a body just appeared and started writing. The Bible says the king, which was Nebuchadnezzar's son, was so afraid that his feet were hitting each other, his knees. Those things, we only see them in TV, in cartoons. But in the Bible, it happened live. So they called Daniel and they said, Daniel, what does mene mene tekel upharsin mean? And Daniel started interpreting. But in the word tekel, Daniel said, tekel means that you have been weighed and you have been found wanting. You have been weighed on the scales. Do you know what's a scale? And you have been found wanting. It means that God takes you, Brother Sandile, and looks at all the good and all the bad. And he puts the bad on the scale and he puts the good on the scale. So when he was checking all the hearts of the men who were living on the earth those days, the bad was outweighing the good. Ask your neighbor, say, neighbor, if God was to come and weigh you today, what will he find? What will he find? He weighed. The king that day had been weighed. And Daniel said, God has weighed you and you have been found wanting. In other words, there's no good found in you that can fight for you, that can talk on your behalf to God. Everything, when God weighs you, the bad is far outweighing the good. May that not be your story, in Jesus' name. When God visits you, may he weigh you and find that the good far outweighs the bad, in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Put your hands together for the Lord. So this is what it meant when the Bible says, and Noah found grace in God's eyes. It wasn't just by chance. God checked all the hearts of men who lived on the earth. God weighed the hearts to see what is in there. And there was only one who was righteous. When God searches your family, may he find you to be righteous. When God searches your community, may he find you to be righteous. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Yeah, then you won't miss him. Number two. Noah believed and obeyed God. Noah believed and obeyed God. Noah believed in and he obeyed him. Hallelujah. Now, all my scriptures are from Genesis, from chapter 6 to chapter 9. So you can go read it. For time, I'm not going to give you all of them. So, you know, God came to Noah. You know, Pat, just think about what I'm saying. If God was to visit you today and says, Pat, I'm about to destroy the world, is it something that you can believe? And God told Noah that I'm going to make it rain for 40 days and 40 nights. And God said to him, I want you to build an ark. Now, just listen to this thing. An ark is like a ship. In those days, there was nothing like that. Today, you know, if you have to make a ship the size that Noah had to make, I mean, there are many ships out there. You can even maybe get a second-hand one. But in those days, there was nothing like that. Never been heard of. And then to make things worse, God says to Noah, I will bring all the animals, two by two, that will come and be in the ark while the earth is full of water. Why have you heard something like that? But when Noah was hearing these things, and when God was telling him, and when God was instructing him, he believed. Many people struggle to believe God. When I'm saying this coming year, we are about to break through. Many people, you know, it's just something to say amen. But they don't believe that it is my season to break through. It is my season for notable success. I've had success before, but it is my time to have the type of success that people will notice that this man, this woman is beginning to break through in his life. Amen. You must believe. Amen. Nothing works in the realm of the spirit without faith. Faith is the basis of everything in the realm of the spirit. Amen. So Noah believed. Not only did he believe, he obeyed. When God said, build me an ark, he didn't know what's an ark. He didn't know how it looks like, but he just obeyed. He started, he's like, okay, I'm gonna start. And I'm sure that as he started, God was showing him, okay, build it like this and put this and put that. This coming year, you must walk by faith and not by sight. My family, my wife and I, we are trying our best to walk by faith. We read the scriptures, we are inspired by God's word, and we do as we are inspired by God's word and by God's voice to us. So also you must walk by faith. If you don't want to miss this God, because this God doesn't make a noise when he's operating. Ask your neighbor, say, do you believe? Ask your neighbor, will you obey? Number three. Those who believed in Noah's preaching and work were saved. Those who believed in Noah's preaching and his work of building the ark, those people were saved. Many years ago, when I was still a student at Tswana University of Technology, our church had what we call a first love church in the university. So the pastor of the church, he was also studying there at the time. So I was walking and I bumped into him. And we started having a conversation. And he told me a story that I'll never forget. He said to me one day, he was on his way home, like December like this. And he had finished everything and he was on his way home. And he said he was with his friends. And he says, yeah, they were driving. I think they were driving at about 140 kilometers per hour. And he said, as they were driving, I don't know what happened, but their car was involved in a head-on collision. Head-on collision is, you know, both cars are hitting each other like that. Not on the side or on the back, head-on. And he said, when he spoke to me, he said, I still remember the sound of the metal as it was, you know, crashing. And he said, after they hit, then suddenly the car started, rolling. And he said, I remember after we hit the other car, everything started going in slow motion. And as he was rolling like that, he asked God and he said, Lord, is this how I'm going to die? You know, sometimes we ask God questions and we don't get answers. That day, God said, yes, this is how you're going to die. And he was surprised. He said before he knew it, he saw himself in heaven. When he got to heaven, he said, he kept on feeling the urge to look at his hands. When he looked at his hands, he noticed that his hands were empty. And they took him towards God. And when he got in front of God, he said, God, ask me three questions. Three. As I'm telling the story, I hope I remember the three questions. He said, the first question that God asked me is, how many people did you lead to Christ? And when God asked him that question, he said that all he felt like doing was looking at his hands. And he looked again and his hands were empty. Then God asked him the second question. And God said to him, how many people were supposed to be blessed and they got blessed because you prayed for them to be blessed? Like you interceded for people to be blessed. And he looked at his hand and his hand was empty. And I forgot the third question. And that guy said to me that I was surprised that God didn't ask me about my mother. How did you take care of your mother? He didn't ask me about my career, my studies. He didn't ask me anything that I thought was important. He only asked those three questions. And he said every time he was asked, he looked at his hands and his hands were empty. And he said God must have had mercy on him, because the next time he opened his eyes, he was in the hospital bed. And he said for about a week, the only thing he could think is, what can I do for God? I want to do something for God. What can I do for God? When he told me that story, as I walked away from him, I said in my heart, I said, Lord, you don't have to kill me, take me to heaven and ask me questions and bring me back. I said to God, his story is my story. I learned from it. I take it as though I was the one in that car and had that experience. And I will serve you. So you don't have to do that thing, okay? Don't worry. I get the message. So the people who were Noah, who went into the ark with Noah, are people like that. They didn't really have to have that experience that Noah had to hear the voice of God, to, you know. But when they heard, because Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 2, Peter said that Noah was a preacher. So Noah was preaching these things. And the whole world, nobody believed except the people who were around him. His sons and his wife. And because they believed, they were also saved. So sometimes, you don't need to hear anything. You just need to watch the people that God has sent to you. Listen to their stories. Listen to how God is leading them. And just, you know, and just follow. The amens are not blessing me. What number are we on? Number four, Noah sacrificed or made sacrifices unto God. Noah sacrificed and or made sacrifices unto God. Kelbeloda ebalazene labarada gadus. Am I talking to somebody? Ladies and gentlemen, in the book of Genesis, now you have to follow the story. God has killed all human beings. God has killed all animals, every living thing, except for the ones that were in the ark. Are we together? Now, you have to understand that those who went into the ark, like if it was lions, only two lions went into the ark. In other words, in Noah's time after the flood, there were only two lions alive in the whole earth. Do you understand? and so on and so forth. And according to the law, there are animals that are clean, there are animals that are unclean. So the animals that were clean, God said, you know, partners, seven partners of two. In other words, if there were cows, there'll be seven males and seven females. Those were the clean animals. And the ones who were unclean, there was just one male, one female. Are we on the same page? Now, it means that every animal was in the verge of extinction. They were rare. When Noah comes out of the ark, when the waters are now dried up, do you know what the guy does? He takes the animals that are already rare and he kills them and he makes a sacrifice unto God. And God was there in heaven minding his own business, and the Bible says he smelled some sweet smelling savior. And he came down to Noah and said, Noah, I make you a promise. Strew Bob. He said, I will never ever kill people with floods anymore. And he said, this is the sign that will remind me and the whole world that I will never flood the earth again. Every time you see a rainbow, it's a reminder of the covenant that we have made today. If Noah never made that sacrifice, God was never going to come down. Till today, we will be we'll be afraid of flooding. Because of that scripture, I don't care if it can rain the whole year. I'm not afraid of flooding because God promised us that he will never flood the earth again. Are we together? You have to sacrifice. You know, people sacrifice for everything in this life but for God. They sacrifice for their education. You will see them studying hard, cross-nighting, working. Hey! You call them for one half-night prayer, one Saturday prayer, they cannot make it. You see people sacrificing for their work. They are known that this one is a hard worker. This one works late. He leaves the office at 2 a.m. She leaves the office at 2 a.m. But where it comes from before God? One day, in a certain church, I'm closing. There was this pastor, you know, the church had grown, become very big. So the church members, they felt that they want to bless their pastor with a new car. Do you understand? So they were collecting. I can't remember. I think everyone had to give 2,000 rand. A big church in KwaZulu-Natal. And there was this guy who was a multi-millionaire. Not that he had 1 million. He had multiple millions. I hear the type of house he has. He has a movie theater. Not like a TV, like a theater in his house. One time he came to visit my grandparents and he was driving this other Mercedes Benz. Then someone who was standing next to me said to me, this is the only one in the country. In the country. So when it was his turn to give the 2,000 rand in church, he said, yo, 2,000 rand. Hey, you know how much is 2,000 rand? Can you believe? A multi-millionaire. You see, people will sacrifice for everything. Everything. But for their God. Noah took one of the animals that were rare and sacrificed to his God as a form of worship, as a form of love. And when God smelt the sacrifice, the Bible says it was a sweet smelling savior or aroma. Tell your neighbor, say, you must sacrifice. I'm just telling you so that when the silent God moves, you'll be aware. Why was Noah aware and all these other people were not aware? It means that there were things he was doing that everyone else was not doing. Let he who has ears hear what the Spirit is saying. And the last one for today, number 5, Noah was faithful, dependable, and could be relied upon. He was faithful, dependable, and could be relied upon. He was faithful, he was dependable, and could be relied upon. Hallelujah. Now just think for yourself. On a church day, does it ever enter your mind that pastor might not come today? Does the thought even visit you that this man may not come to church today? Faithful, dependable, can be relied upon. You have to become that type of person. Generally in life, when I was leaving my workplace, I remember on a Monday, I had a deadline. I had to deliver tender documents to Public Works. And on Saturday, we were visiting our in-laws. Something was happening. I can't remember what was going on, but we had to go visit. So we went Saturday morning, came back Saturday night. Are you here? And at night, I left my wife and my daughter at home, and I drove to my boss's house. Because there was some equipment that I needed to do the work. So it was around 7 to 8 at night. And I said, I've come to fetch those things. And he said, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to work. I've got a deadline on Monday. And so I went, I worked till the AMs. I left those things at work. And mind you, I was working in Joburg. Came back in the morning. Dabulumanyana. And then I came to church, I preached. When I finished preaching, because I wasn't finished, I had to go back to work. Around 3 p.m., I worked till the a.m.s. And I was finished. Then on Monday, we went and delivered the documents that needed to be delivered at work. At work, I was faithful, dependable, and could be relied upon. In the house of God, I was faithful, dependable, and could be relied upon. When I was leaving, my boss looked at me and said, dear, what am I going to do without you? So some people, they're not like that. Some people, they are not faithful at work, they are not faithful at church, they are not faithful anywhere. And some people are only faithful at work and not faithful in the house of God. And other people also are only faithful in the house of God and not faithful anywhere else. There must be a just balance. Noah was all these things. And because of this, he was always aware when this silent God was doing great things in a quiet way. Hallelujah. So I teach you this so that this coming year you won't miss your season. Tell a neighbor, say, I cannot miss my season. I can't. If you apply these truths that I'm telling you. Hallelujah. Let's rise to our feet. Put your hands together for Jesus as you rise to your feet. Hallelujah. Today is not a shouting message, but I believe that I've given you some nuggets of truth, some nuggets of wisdom that will allow you to operate in the spirit and to be able to operate in the physical realm also. Hallelujah. I want you to pray for yourself. Thank God for what you have heard. thank God for what you have learned and ask him that, Lord, I don't want to miss you. Help me so that I may find grace, all the points that I give you, so that I may find grace in your eyes, so that I can be reliable, dependable. Hallelujah. Open your mouth, talk to the Lord. Ask him to help you. Ask him to give you grace. As you are going into a new year, ask him to give you grace, because you don't want to miss him in 2022. You don't want to miss him. Radike berebo diakeros, mon eldemena sanila mandoros, keano ardebraros, mordebera tekarados, marca doble ekesendos, rajene eldoberca decarianos, marquebelo ateek epiloco sadaros, marque parabosha kados. Help me, Father, as I'm going into this new year. Help me, Lord Jesus. Help me, my Savior. I don't want to miss you, my God, because when you move, you don't make any announcements. Balado la la ba sheke baraboshia kabos. Belabro ndereboshia kade de 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 so de 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 re de 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 se re re de 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 so brekados de brekados. Brekados ya derebos la paraboshia da pokolo poda poros. Like Noah, oh God, everyone on the earth, nobody was working with you, but somehow, with such a bad atmosphere around him, your word tells us that he found grace in your eyes. Oh, Rabashanderebos, Yanderebosh, Labakaberebosh, Yanderebosh, Rabakote Keberebosh, Yanderebos, Radeke Parabosh, Yadabakola Bolo, Delelolon Derebosh, Rabado Korobosia. In these times that we live in, we need to walk with you. In these times that we live in, we need to be sensitive to your voice. My Lord, help us to be like your servant Noah. Beha karaboshi anderebosh yanderek. Reba koroboshi akaraborebo yamrebor. Raba kereboshi anderek. Raba kere yanderebos. Mabarabos yabal. Pray, somebody pray. Lift up your voice to God. Maleke sepelele. Jode brato kororo. Rabababose sasose. Zadoke pergados yadu manderebosh yandere kelgeboria kades manteke preke tekereboshia. Oh Father, we thank you, we love you, and I pray that you give us grace to live in a manner that will be pleasing unto you. And by your mercies, this coming year, we will not miss you when you are working, when you are doing great things in a silent way. We will notice, we will see, and we'll participate in what you are doing. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed, and the whole church will say aloud, amen. Amen. Can I hear a louder amen? Amen. You will not miss it in 2022.
Thank you for listening to the powerful word of God. We hope you are blessed by this message. For more inquiries, go to healingfireministries.org or email us at info@healingfireministries.com or call at 072-5912-858. God bless you.